Wall Street gets a blank check, while Main Street picks up the tab. Politicians raise taxes, and the private sector picks up the tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome to the only live and local show dedicated to the private sector and turning our economy around. This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on News Radio 101 FM KXL.
It's 7 minutes after 5 o'clock here in the great Northwest, and for those of you who are joining us after another exciting Portland Timbers game, welcome to Business Briefing, which normally airs between 4 and 6 p.m. here every Sunday afternoon on News Radio 101 FM KXL. For those of you who are sports fans and would like to hear sports programming, you can head over to our sister station, 750 AM, The Game. They are back on the AM dial, and as you may have heard, we will simulcast Ducks, Blazers, and Timbers games here on the 101 dial, so you have your choice of FM or AM for the sports. The rest of the time, it's the best talk programming in the market. Want to welcome you to the number one talk show in its time slot here on Sunday afternoons. This is Business Briefing. Been on the air with this show for 5+ years now, and we're glad to support the private sector. Lots to talk about in our shortened show a little bit later. Michael Skog from the Skog System Kettlebell Gym checks in. Got a special offer from him. In about 30 minutes, Joseph Chaplick from Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate joins us to talk about the big event coming up Wednesday night at the Bing Lounge. You won't want to miss that, so stick around. We'll give away a pair of tickets for that event as well coming up at 5:35. But first, we want to open the phone line. Our friend Patrick Stone, the president of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, is here with us to talk economics. We'll talk macro level in this segment and then narrow down to the local market here in our upcoming segment in about 12 minutes. Pat, though, first, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon to join us. And boy, it sure is an interesting time out there right now. We've talked so much about the Federal Reserve and quantitative easing. That's about to end. What do you think the impact will be on the overall economy?
Well, I think it's concurrent with a couple things, Brian. You know, the cessation of QE2, I think, has a lot of people in the market assuming a slowdown, and it may be that that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It may be that it's occurring concurrently with the Mideast unrest, the rising price of oil, the disruption from the Japanese tsunami, the rising of rates in China. Overall, it does appear that the growth for the remainder of the year will be significantly less than originally assumed. So taking QE2 off the board just sort of it removes some government stimulus and kind of reaffirms in everybody's mind that the market is going to be, the economy is going to grow slower. And so consequently, you're seeing money go into safe haven of Treasury bills. You're seeing rates coming down. T-bills have come down significantly in the last couple months, and a lot of that's probably in anticipation of the ending of QE2.
Patrick Stone joining us. He is our economic expert, and I gave him that title way back last year when we were having lunch, and Pat, you explained to me the impact of quantitative easing, and you know, you called it before anybody else did, and you know, a lot of things you tell me I end up seeing in the Wall Street Journal, you know, 3 to 4 weeks later. So I want to get your feeling on this, though, because there's two trains of thought. The Fed pulls out and stops supporting our economy with this quantitative easing. Do you feel the stock market now is a little overvalued? Will we start to see a drop in stocks? And where's the money going now? I mean, where's the next spike?
Well, I do think that the stock market is having a little bit of a pullback. I do believe asset prices benefited from QE2, and we saw a significant uptick in the market in the 6 months after the initiation of QE2. The money seems to be moving into Treasury bills right now, I think in part because QE2 is ending, in part because rising oil prices have slowed the economy down. I think there's a lot of uncertainty overall, so people seek a safe haven. So you're seeing a lot of dollars go into T-bills. T-bills are coming down. Rates are coming down with T-bills. And then the other thing, you've seen some dollars move into certain specific commodities. A lot of money going into gold, silver, and some are not so much silver right now, but gold and some of the commodities. So it's I think everybody's looking for places to put money, but the big winner right now looks to be treasury bills.
And with that, mortgage rates also dropping here the past few weeks, I guess the question is, will there be any benefit from that? I guess home buyers might jump back into the market, but so many people who could already did refinance in the last year or so. I mean, we'd have to see a pretty significant drop to see another refinance boom. That's probably not in the picture, is it?
Well, I don't think so much the rates are affecting refi right now as it is the underwriting. The lenders have become very, very conservative on underwriting. I guess they always have been, but ever since the downturn. But they continue to maintain a very, very strict underwriting standard. And I think they'll do so until you have complete visibility on regulatory reform. So the lenders understand what the game's going to be, what the requirements under qualified residential mortgage will be, until they understand how and to whom they can sell loans and what sort of capital requirements they will have. They're going to maintain very, very strict underwriting standards. Interesting sideline there, Brian, is last year about 35% of refis on homes that had enough equity to be refied were turned down for personal underwriting reasons. Mm-hmm. So there are still refis going on in the market. I think there will continue to be some refis, but that the direct correlation between lower rates and refis seems to have abated somewhat.
Patrick Stone, the president of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us. They are a locally based, nationally recognized company right here in Lake Oswego. And I know, Pat, you've been crisscrossing the country. We talked before the show here, and there is a lot of opportunity out there. But as you said, and we talked about, you really got to roll up your sleeves right now. And I know we talked about this, I think, a year ago. It's such a grind-it-out economy, isn't it?
I think it's going to be that way for a while, Brian. There's really a dichotomy in the economy. The large, and we've talked about this on the show before, the large multinational corporations have done very well. Small business has taken a lot longer to recover, and it was really encouraging to see that the unemployment rate here locally has come down recently. But nationally, there's still large pockets of unemployment. There's still significant hardship and still a great deal of concern in the economy, especially among small business people, which you need to have any sort of improvement in unemployment.
Yeah, no doubt, and that's what this show is all about. In your mind, what's it going to take to get this turned around? Are we going to have to wait for the next election, or is there something that can happen between now and then?
Well, I think it's, you know, Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's a function of time. You know, we, and you've heard me say this before, we basically became a society that was in love with debt. You saw it in the growth of debt to gross domestic product as a percentage, and we got to the point where we had $52 trillion of the credit market debt. Now, we've deleveraged some, and we've refinanced a great deal. The consumer is now in much better shape than they were 2 or 3 years ago. They're saving at a higher rate. They have less debt to less debt to income, less household obligations. They've started to reemerge as in the economy. They are starting to give the economy a little bit of a solid underpinning in terms of consumption, but it takes time. And we've got to solve the federal issue. The federal debt now is over $14 trillion. We need to have some clarity about what that's going to be, or we run the risk of bringing into question the gold-plated treasury bond that's been the world standard for safe investments. So we've got some deleveraging to do. We've got a little bit more work to do in terms of getting the economy on solid grounds. In terms of unemployment, though, we've got a couple issues that I don't know that we can solve readily or easily without tremendous investments in higher education and sort of a re-emphasis or a redeployment of capital in more long-term investment areas, if you will. And by that I mean is, if you look at what's happened in the last couple recessions, they've been essentially jobless recoveries because we've offshored so much labor, we've used technology to increase productivity, and manufacturing has become such a smaller part of our economy. So recovering unemployment is becoming harder and harder with each recession because of those three factors. And then you take that and you couple it with the tremendous amount of debt we're still carrying, and we've got a wet blanket on this economy. It is not going to change very quickly. It's going to take a few years to work our way through it.
More with Patrick Stone from WFG National Title after a brief break.